21 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You're listening to 702. Now, individuals, the former Minerals Minister, Mr. Noako Ramatlodi, today directly linked President Jacob Zuma to state capture and implicated him in the controversial landing of a private jet carrying the Gupta wedding guests at the Waterkloof Air Base, among other things. Ramatlodi was testifying at the State Capture Commission today. He was fearless, unapologetic and direct as he told the State Capture Inquiry that he was fired as a minister twice for refusing to give in to former President Zuma and the Guptas. He stated that the Guptas had power to summon President Zuma to their home. He illustrated this by revealing that the Guptas would summon the whole Department of Mineral Resources to their private home in Cape Town during a mining in Durban. Ramatlodi did not hold back at all. Well, to unpack what this means for the African National Congress and also for what happened in the sector, I'm joined by political analyst Vugani Mde. Vugani, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima, and good evening to your listeners.
Now, before we get into it, let's take a listen quickly to Mr. Ramatlodi just speaking about the cavalier way in which the Guptas went about commandeering, national key points and so forth.
Presidents have got friends in the business community and so on. They do see people and so on. But this ones, I felt they were insulting even the president. Because what they were doing was to show off. You know, that they'd captured the republic is theirs. They're not presidents, but they can land at an Air Force base. Chair, what happens at Air Force base of South Africa is only heads of states land there. And when they land, we receive them with all the protocols. Either one minister or the other is sent to go and do that. But on this occasion, this aeroplane from India just landed there. And there was preparations because even the traffic cops were escorting those buses which were going to Northwest.
Yeah.
So it was a well-planned reception, which could not happen without higher authorities.
That is, of course, former Minerals Minister Noako Ramatlodi not holding back, essentially saying that there was no way that a private plane with private citizens could land at a place like Waterkloof Air Base without a higher authority knowing. Now, we know, of course, that there was a long process in and people talked about name dropping and some people had to take the fall. The person who actually took the fall is now the ambassador to the Netherlands. So not a big fall, a nice cushion fall. Vugani, what is significant for you about Mr. Ramatlodi's tone and also just his candor about the extent to which the Guptas actually managed President Jacob Zuma?
Karima, several things stood out for me in Ramatlodi's testimony. The first is that, similar to a few other people before him, specifically Kebisi Jonas and Themba Maseko, Ramatlodi actually placed President Jacob Zuma right at the center of the whole affair. He told how the instructions, he showed how the instructions were issuing from the office of President Zuma. Or even when the instructions were not coming directly from that office, they were done in his name, with his knowledge and with his consent.
And of course, often he would punish people if they wouldn't carry out those instructions.
Well, exactly. He punished Ramatlodi himself twice. The second time, which was the last time, when he totally fired him from his cabinet on the 31st of March last year. The second thing to note is that Ramatlodi also placed President Jacob Zuma's son,
Duduzani,
smack in the middle of the whole affair as well. And what Ramaphosa did was to suggest and to confirm to us that Duduzane had a particular modus operandi that he used. And that was to call up ministers and deputy ministers and sit them down with Gupta people they had never met, and basically demand that they discuss supposed rumors of them, the ministers and these officials.
Yes,
are bad mouthing either himself or the Gupta people, and in fact, it suggests very strongly that there was a sort of intimidatory element to Duduzane's use of his father's power in order to unlock business for the Guptas. This wasn't somebody who was acting as a middleman, getting ministers and officials of state to sit down with business people and thresh out particular deals. This was kind of like
a muscle
twisting exercise.
Yeah,
he was the muscle for the Guptas.
Absolutely,
intimidation was being used. It was very crude. It had the threat of violence to it. It was incredible.
In fact, let's actually listen to Ramaphosa explain how prior to a 2015 mining indaba, the director general told him that it was customary for the entire department to be hosted by the Guptas at their Cape Town residence.
I was in China with Dr. Ramanja, my director general. So he was relating to me how they used to operate under the previous ministers. He told me that during the mining indaba, all the DG and DDGs from all my departments, minerals, would then be hosted by the Guptas in their Cape Town home. They would then call other business people to attend there. What I did was to say to the DG, he was not persuading me to do it, but I told him, but this will not happen on my watch. There's no one who's going to the Gupta's home to be hosted by them. But the way they operate, they were demonstrating power, these people. What they do, they will call this whole department there and then call people who would be investors and say, you see, we have got the department, it's here.
Sure.
So we want you
to do this and that.
So they're demonstrating power. Call the whole department.
We are in charge.
The whole department. Sure. The whole department. It would go there.
You know, Vugani, what was very interesting for me, I watched this entire testimony. I have never seen the Deputy Chief Justice this animated. In fact, the evidence leader didn't say much. He was actually doing so much of the leading and asking the question. And at one point, he actually just said, how? You know, he was so shocked by what Mr. Ramaphosa was saying. And it goes to that point where you spoke about the crassness, the brazenness with which they just flashed the fact that they had a hole over the South African president.
Well, yeah, I mean, DCJ Zondo was shocked. I mean, you could see it in his reactions, and I think that this is for the first time that we're seeing this animated.
Yes,
and I think the reason for that is because it's the first time he himself realizes the full extent of what all of this means, assuming that all of this stuff that Ramaphosa was telling him is true, because it suggests how incredibly close we were as a country, and perhaps continue to be close to the precipice of a failed a state that functions only for the private interests of a very, very small, very, very corrupt, very unaccountable elite. And the extent to which the one person elected to safeguard the constitution and to exercise ultimate executive authority in the republic was willing to cede that authority.
Now that is, of course,
a to a family of foreign nationals who were never elected to any office in South Africa or the ANC.
Now, I mean, Vugani, that is the essence of this exercise. It is to determine whether President Zuma, in fact, outsourced his executive authority to a private family. Here is a cabinet minister, twice cabinet minister, someone who was in the African National Congress for many years, worked for Tambo, saying explicitly that this was the case. In fact, let's take a listen to a clip where he speaks about the fact that they even managed the president's diary.
And he says to me, you see, the Guptas have got a secretary in the house which handles the president's diary. In other words, the president has got two secretaries. One belongs to the Guptas, the other is in Matlamandlo or union buildings. Now, so they can easily interfere with his diary if they want him. They insist you come, and then he come running there. Now, so we're asking ourselves, what is this thing, that this hold that they have on him, over him? We couldn't understand the grip.
Now, of course, that is very, very graphic for the president to have someone in a private home being able to summon him. And Noako Ramatlodi uses the words, he would come running, Vugani.
You know, one of the, for me, still one of the mysterious things about this whole affair, about the entire last decade of South Africa's history, is that it still has to be explained to us. I know Ramatlodi attempted a sort of explanation, or at least an explanation that they got from Zuma repeatedly as the NEC. But we still need an explanation with evidence that satisfies us about why, how it is that the Gupta family came to have such a hold, such a grip over Zuma. Ramaphosa said today that he constantly told the NEC that, well, these people are my friends and they helped me and my family and took care of my children at a time when I was I think the term he used was persona non grata. I'm not sure where he was ever persona non grata, but whatever. So that was his explanation, but that is not enough. You do not hand over the keys of the state. You do not hand over the treasury. You do not hand over the entire mineral sector. You do not hand over SAA. You do not hand over all the things that
Eskom
was giving to the Eskom, Transnet, to the Guptas, because they gave Duduzane a job. That is out of all proportion that is the most generous thank you anybody has ever thought of. The Guptas had a hold on Zuma, a hold that continues unexplained to this very day.
And of course, we're going to have to hear from former President Jacob Zuma, actually, when he finally comes before some kind of forum to explain this, because it looks as if the Guptas are in the wind. But let's listen to Ramatlodi explain how the ANC structures as a party were in fact paralyzed by factionalism, and those who benefited from the Zupta largesse continued to just protect the president.
There was a faction which was not it was unrelenting in defending him. That's why it lasted so long, this thing, this saga. Now, and so when we were recalling him after he lost he finished the presidency of the NC, and we were trying to get him to get out of office. And he was asking the question, what have I done? Was, is this nothing wrong with what he did? So in response, in a meeting, I was saying, what he has done was to auction executive authority. And now the next president who comes is going to inherit an empty office in terms of authority. That's the biggest sin he has done, to auction executive authority.
to auction executive authority, going right to the kernel of the matter here. I mean, this alone allows the NPA to serve President Zuma with arrest papers.
Well, look, I think there's probably going to be a very cautious approach to that. The Zondo Commission is probably going to go on well into next year. And I think as far as the law enforcement authorities are concerned, there will probably be a preference to wait until Judge Zondo has made his own findings and conclusion and recommendations about what to do about particular people who are found to have broken specific laws. But I do think that based on the evidence that's been led so far, and of course we must be cautious and say this is the perspective of the people who have given evidence. But if their version of events is proved true, it seems likely that there will be people who will have to answer in some sort of legal forum, in a court of law, over the things they are being accused to have done. Dudu Zani may very well be one of them. His father may very well be one of them. The Guptas will probably be among them if we could get our hands on the Guptas.
Let's listen quickly to him explain why he was removed as Minister for Mineral Affairs.
There's not one single reason why I was promoted from minerals. There's a conjuncture of circumstances which are around this family, the Gupta family. The only conclusion I could arrive at was that they tried everything to convince me to do certain things, and that has become an obstacle. In that sense, and that goes to the heart of the commission, that ministers could be removed if they did not cooperate. They were using they had real authority.
They had real authority. This is what Mr. Ramatlodi said. Now, we know, of course, Fikile Mbalula said in an NEC meeting that he was informed by the Guptas that he was going to be the sports minister. We know from other individuals that allege that the Guptas were basically saying to them they are able to give them cabinet positions. I mean, in terms of the executive code of ethics, like I said, I mean, these things are going to have to be weighed up, but it's only stacking up against President Jacob Zuma.
Yes, it is. And look, it is now a common cause that the Guptas were making appointments. They were summoning people to let them know of their appointments, suggesting that they were either part of the appointment making process at the very least. It's common cause that a lot of people lost their jobs because they displeased the Guptas, suggesting very strongly that the Guptas had a hand in those people losing their jobs. Ramatlodi was one of those people. Hogan was one of those people, and she testified to the same. Thembo Maseko testified to the same thing. If you were an obstacle to the Guptas prying open some area of profit in the state, then you would soon go. Advocate Moofe, who followed Ramatlodi and was Ramatlodi's special advisor at both Minerals and DPSA, used the term career limiting. Displeasing them was career limiting. In his case, he and Ramatlodi failed to appoint Zwanele Manyi as DG of at DMR, and by failing to do that, they both lost their jobs. It is quite clear that that is indeed what was happening.
Vukani, we out of time, but I must ask you this one question because it goes back to motive, right? So you were saying that we still need the full story of why Zuma did what he did, and the answer that the children got jobs isn't enough. Isn't the answer that President Jacob Zuma got money? He got largesse for this. And that is what motivated him. Not just the fact that his son became a millionaire. He personally benefited. His entire extended family benefited financially.
Sure. I don't doubt that he did. But again, the explanation is not sufficient, Karima. President Jacob Zuma could get money from pretty much anywhere. President Jacob Zuma could get money without handing over possibly trillions in the state's resources. That is essentially what was happening. He constructed an alternative state. There was an alternative center of power. There was an alternative economy that he and the Guptas were constructing. That is not fully explained by saying he was bribed or he was profiting. He could have profited from a myriad of other businesses and business people. There is no shortage of people in business who are ready to maintain politicians in a particular lifestyle in return for government contracts. In fact, President Jacob Zuma's entire career is itself proof of the number of people who are willing to grease the palms of politicians.
Yes.
But with these people, it was different.
Absolutely. It's something that we will return to, Vugani Mde. Thank you very much. That's political analyst Vugani Mde analyzing the import of what Nwako Ramatlodi, former minerals minister, had to say about the way in which the Guptas exercised their power, the control that they had over President Jacob Zuma.